What time is it? Showtime. The brothers discuss sports and provide betting tips. The best kept secret in sports investing. Please welcome Bolt Brady and his bro.
Well, hello out there. Welcome into Bolt Brady and his bro. It's the best place to chat some sports gambling. We're going to roll off some football here for you. Let's welcome in our guy.
We got a big week coming. NBA starts today. Mm-hmm. World Series this Friday. Even though I don't think you probably care too much about either one of those.
That one doesn't... The World Series doesn't grab me a whole lot, but that if you're looking for like a big city, big name matchup, you can't get bigger than LA.
Judge.
New York. Yeah. Shohei.
The two big dogs will be going at it.
I mean, if you can alert me every time those guys are like up, then I'll click in.
Yeah, those guys are definitely worth a view when they're up to bat.
But that's cool. And then NBA, you know, those guys start off so darn slow. It's like I can't get into that till like spring. But I am watching that that show Starting Five on Netflix.
Oh, yep. We started watching that also.
It does. It just changes your perspective. You know, I'm not a big LeBron guy, but, you know, you see him at home and how hard he works out and what time he gets up. You appreciate him more.
Yeah, and then Ant's pretty funny, dude. That guy's like, he's so young. He's a little guy.
Yeah, he's got a long way to come. You're probably, I don't know how far into it you are, but he has like his baby. And, yep. and like, I'm like, dude, are you going to touch the kid? Like,
well, he was checking out the score of the game.
No, yeah, he was listening to it because he left the arena to go have the baby. And it's just like game 40 against the Kings, and he's like listening to it.
Right. And then speaking of the Kings, they do Sabonis too, and he seems like a stud.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Always knew he was. So on the NBA real quick, how about this? So the most expensive beer in the NBA, $20 a beer at Boston. 20 bones a beer.
Just for like a tall can or, I mean?
Yeah, I mean for a brew, whatever. And then a brew in Cleveland, $6.
Wow.
Yep. So there's the disparity there for you.
That's garbage.
Yep. Golden State was even 17. They were like the third highest.
Huh.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't know what the payrolls are, but I'd imagine Cleveland's is lower than Boston. So it's like also the location has a lot to do with it, obviously. But then they just start nickel and diming you to pay for those guys' salaries.
Uh-huh. Yep. That's what happened.
$50 to park.
Oh, yeah. Right. And then before we get started, we always like to say shout out to some of our listeners. And we've got Juju who works, Carly who works at Juju. So longtime listener, just want to say thanks. Thanks for listening.
Mm-hmm, appreciate it.
Yep. And let's get on into it here. So how about this? Week 7, we'll go back Thursday night, the Broncos versus the Saints. We said that game was good. Looking, we actually liked the under, and it was heading there until Big Rattler throws the pick six. And then they come down, and everyone's in the prevent because no one gives a shit. And the final, 33-10. And Rattler was good looking.
I liked the Broncos in that one. I told you that. And yeah. Then, yeah. And the under was holding. It was tight. Didn't they yank Rattler and someone else threw the TD to cover or go over?
You know what? Literally, that, you know, it was turned off. I mean, I was watching it because of the over-under. And then when he threw the pick six, I'm like, there it is. That's ball game. Because it wouldn't have happened if that was it. Because even if they came down and scored, the Broncos just would have run it out, and that would have been ball game. But you throw the pick six, and it was good looking. And I was just looking at his face, and it was hilarious watching Rattler. And I wasn't the only one. Like, people were posting on Twitter that, you know, they were being sarcastic, like, oh, it's really a bummer to see this guy play so poorly. And then they'd show clips of him on that show when he was in high school just being an asshole to his teammates.
Yeah.
Then the last thing on him, not only in high school, but also when in college, remember Caleb Williams backed him up, the quarterback for the Bears now.
In Oklahoma.
Yeah. When he was the true freshman. And Rattler was playing like shit against, I think it was Texas, which is obviously a huge rivalry. So they took Rattler out and they threw Caleb in, and Caleb did the comeback at home, and everyone was going batshit crazy for the comeback after the game. And then they showed Rattler running into the locker room.
No, he didn't hype it up like the win.
Nope. All the teammates are out there, and he's like, see you guys later. And he went into the locker room.
That's where you should spot all that character stuff early on.
Big time. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I can't. So anyway, the Saints are in trouble. That's a long way of saying the Saints are in trouble.
Yeah, that's, you know, they start off with some hope at 2-0, and then Carr gets injured. It's like they're donezo.
Yep. And then we had the London game, another game that was good looking. Patriots actually got up 10-0. And, you know, the Patriots backers were probably like, here we go. And then the Jags score 22 points in the second quarter. So it's 22-10 and a half. And kiss her goodnight, final 32-16.
Yeah.
Not much to say about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. I mean, but it just shows how bad the Pats are. And then the Seahawks-Falcons. That was kind of a boat race.
That one surprised me.
Did you have Atlanta?
I didn't, and I was kind of sitting there thinking, like, you know, they'd gotten lucky, Atlanta had, with how many close games they'd had and things that had gone their way to pull them off. And here comes a team that's decent, and they just spanked them.
Well, and it's because of our boy DK. I mean, DK, so how about DK? You know, change of scenery around here. He's second in the NFL in yards right now, but unfortunately, he got a little banged up.
Mm-hmm.
So watch that on the injury report, because if he's not playing, wow. I mean, it's not happening for the Seahawks.
Yeah, I mean, Geno's been there the last few years, so it's just the change in coaching and the style. Someone said get him the ball more.
Mm-hmm. Yep, which is great. And then your boy, Josh Al, down 10-0.
I stayed away from it because I was like, you know, they're going with Mason Rudolph. This one I don't know about.
Right. And so you're like, I'm glad I stayed away from it. And then Josh goes, hold the horses there, buddy. We're going to go and outscore them here by 34 from that point on. And the final was 34-10.
Mm-hmm.
What game stood out to you? I'll tell you what game stood out to me first. Wow, did the Eagles boat race the Giants.
That one I did take. Yep, that was a good one.
Daniel
Jones might be in trouble.
Well, Daniel wasn't happy that they brought in Big Lock. They brought in Drew Lock.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They made the switch.
And they asked him about it, and usually they bullshit. And they're like, oh, yeah, blah, blah. And he's like, yep, nope, I'm not very happy about that. So another one that we have to chit about here, because it was incredible. The big Raiders backers out there, are they thankful that Antonio Pierce has no clue what he's doing? Did you see this back door?
No. I saw they only won by 5, though, the Rams.
Okay, well, listen how they won. So it was 20-12. Okay, the line was anywhere from 5.5 to 7. So they're covering it by 1 point here because they're up by 8. Antonio and the Raiders are driving with 3 minutes left in the ball game, and they're on the Rams' 9-yard line, okay? First down, don't get it. Second, third, don't. It's fourth down. Remember, they only have 9 yards to go to score a touchdown and to get a 2-point to tie it up. And Antonio goes, let's kick the field goal here.
Ugh.
So they kick the field goal to make it 20-15. So you go from being down one score to being down one score, Antonio.
Right.
You don't get the math very well, apparently.
Jeez.
And so anyway, that was the ball game there. But they covered for the Raiders. Was that a backdoor?
That's terrible.
You're on the 9-yard line. The 9, down by 8. And you're like, let's kick the field goal here. Wow. I mean, we were talking about this guy before the season started, and is it good looking with Antonio at the helm?
Yeah, it could be the one and done. And they're saying Tom Brady's, you know, his 10% purchase with his business partner got approved.
Yep.
And they're saying, you know, supposedly there's Belichick whispers. But I'm like, if you even brought him in, you know, of course he knows how to run the team, but like, he would definitely need an offensive guy to change up that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I guess he could bring, well, no, Josh McDaniel got fired by the Raiders last year.
It was, the thing about it, too, was they think, you know, Tom coming in and the owner's like, well, Tom will be able to help us to get a generational quarterback, you know? And I go, hold the horses on that, because John Elway sure struggled with that.
Uh-huh.
Wow, one of the best quarterbacks of all time. But when it came to choosing QBs, I mean, John must have been just throwing darts at the dartboard on who to draft.
And Tom wasn't a generational QB in view of the draft. Like, no one knew to take him.
Right.
So Tom's not going to be able to pick through the weeds there and pick out just like someone that's going to turn out to be amazing.
Another game that stood out real quick. I mean, the people in the NorCal don't like the outcome, but the big KC Chiefs.
Yeah, that was a dud in terms of, you know, wanting to be a little closer game.
Well, I think that's the first time you've gone against Patty, against the Nines.
I just liked that spot. I just thought they would kind of show up. And they made Brock look like the stage got to him. I'm like, man, he didn't even look like that in the Super Bowl. So in some regards, you got the guys had like three or four games that he's started that have kind of been crap games. I mean, statistically, Brock's done well. He just looked like he was not on it.
Well, what's unfortunate for him is once again, one of the interceptions that goes down as an INT for him was the wide receiver's fault. You could tell that one in the second half. He thought that the receiver was going to go more towards the corner of the field, and the receiver flattened it out, and the DB goes, oh, I'll take that, Purdy. Thanks very much.
Well, and then I was looking at the receivers, and Ricky Pearsall, the guy that got shot, made his debut, his first game. He's a rookie. And then the other dudes that were out there, I'm like, who are these other guys?
No, I know.
Ayuk tore his ACL. So they said Spagnuolo, the D coordinator for the Chiefs, once Ayuk was out, he switched to, like, I think they said zone press. So they were just up on every dude in their grill, and they're just like, let's see if they can handle this. And they couldn't handle the coverage.
Yeah. And, you know, dude, if you can't catch Patty on that game, it's a problem. I mean,
yeah, his stats weren't good.
He didn't play very well at all, except for that 33-yard run was legit. But, I mean, he had two picks. How about he has more interceptions than touchdowns, and he's currently the MVP until Lamar played. So maybe Lamar is now.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday, before Lamar played, Patty was the MVP, and you're like, it's just so weird. Like, he hasn't done anything, and they're still smoking teams. And that was the reason why I liked them. It's because their defense is balling.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, our boy Chris Jones, we've been saying that one for years. That guy's a battering ram.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow.
He can push some guys around up front.
Mm-hmm.
And that, was it Trent Williams had some problems? He got ejected.
Yeah.
They're just, nothing was going their way. And it seems like someone else keeps falling out of the lineup with those guys.
I think it's tough to take the Niners unless Debo's playing. Like, the Niners should probably be the stay away until Debo plays.
And every time they cut to him, you're like, oh, what's wrong with him? You know, yeah. He's got the oxygen mask on. And I was kind of like ripping him when I was watching. I'm like, dude, you ever going to suck it up and play through some of these things? And they say it's pneumonia.
Right.
So that's not something to mess around with, but it's like, it just seems like he always has an injury bug.
No, I know. And it might be just the way he plays. You know, he doesn't shy away from contact. And which, maybe he should a little bit more.
Got to be available.
Right. Yeah, I know. So that's too bad. And then before we get into this week's, how about the Jets Steelers?
Disgusting.
Yeah, you didn't like that one.
I thought they would step it up. Well, I mean, Russ got pretty lucky with some of those passes.
Oh, I'm not going to disagree with that. Like, they were three flies up.
And, like, the DB, I don't know if it was Sauce, he played good on the D with the arm up there, and then Pickens still got lucky and grabbed that one, and that kind of got the whole momentum going.
Well, how about it was 15-6 right before the half, and they're driving, and Aaron throws that pick.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
was that the one off Garrett's chest, though? That was the receiver's fault.
No, it was when the DB made a legit catch in the middle of the field with, like, his left hand. It was actually a great play. And so they got the ball back, and then the Steelers scored. So it was 15-13 at half. Steelers were behind. And then, wow, the Jets left the teabags at home for the second half. They throw the bagel on the scoreboard. And Russ, my boy, throws up another 24. 37-15. Might be the only person in the world besides Russ's family that had his back going into that ball game.
Yeah, man. Kind of secured the job for another few weeks the way he played.
Well, it was funny because everyone was going, wow, you're sitting Fields, he's 4-2 and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I've always had Russ's back, but I'll still say, like, Russ's passes weren't great. Like, it was three flies up to Pickens, and he was just coming down with them. I mean, a lot of times he actually underthrew the receiver and kind of got away with it. But the reason why he craps on Fields is because he doesn't make the dumb mistake. You know, he doesn't try to force it in there. He doesn't throw the picks. He understands, hey, if we're not getting the touchdown here, let's get the field goal. That's why he's a better quarterback. I mean, it's not even close.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, if you're the good receiver, we always say, you got to give me a chance. Throw it up. I'll make sure it hits the ground if I don't get it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, good for him for doing that. We'll see what shakes down. They showed the press conference kind of after with Tomlin, and Brandon Marshall, the former receiver, was in there kind of because he works for, like, Inside the NFL or whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, was that your riskiest move you've ever made as a coach, switching to Russ? And he's like, I don't know. He's like, why'd you do it? He's like, well, I'm compensated well. That's why I did it.
Well, I mean, dude, how many games has Field won in his life? Like, six, I think. And Russ is a Super Bowl winner with multiple, like, league championships and Super Bowl appearances. Like, it's not that big of a deal, really. But, you know, people hype her up.
Yeah, Fields is riding the defense.
And then what'd you think about your Chargers?
I couldn't see that game last night, which I don't have ESPN Plus. That was garb.
Okay.
but I was watching the GameCast and the Ravens. All field goals.
You know,
somehow Herbert still, what did he throw for, 349?
Yeah.
With no real wide receiver, like, threats. It was all, like, tight ends, but, like, six dudes had, like, 40 yards, you know?
No touchdowns, no interceptions for Herb. 349.
And they couldn't really run the ball. Like, it's not like Dobbins got loose either. He only had, like, mid-40 for his yards, so... It's impressive what Herbert's doing. I still believe in that team. Arizona's not known for stopping teams. That's what was weird.
Right, and they kicked field goals all night. Yeah, that's pretty nutty.
Yeah, so Chargers can still bounce back just in terms of maybe squeaking in the playoffs in the AFC. But that was – they could give me a touchdown there, Herbs.
before we get into it, you know, I like to take a little time out for some cool stats. So how about this one? Aiden O'Connell. The Raiders QB, who I think he's hurting out now.
Yeah, he hurt his hand or thumb.
But he had 442 dropbacks in his NFL career, and he never had one scramble. Not one time has he scrambled as a quarterback.
Wow.
Isn't that nutty?
Hmm.
And then here's another thing thrown at you that I came across. In 2003, who do you think was the Georgia State High School Player of the Year? Megatron, Calvin Johnson, or Sean McVay, head coach, Rams? Sean McVay.
Was the Georgia player of the year?
Yep.
For high school?
Yep.
No way.
Yeah, he played quarterback. They were showing the highlights of it. It's pretty funny. He was a little guy. He was like running the option.
Is that for like a certain division? Because he didn't end up going to like a big school and playing quarterback.
I don't know. Well, he did play Division I somewhere as a receiver.
Like Kent State or something.
Yeah.
Like something small.
Yeah. But I mean, dude, whatever division you are and you're Georgia State Player of the Year, you're pretty legit.
Yeah.
But he also had the dad who was the professional coach in the NFL.
No, that's what got him up through the ranks. He got on Gruden's staff in Tampa Bay.
Well, I'm sure that got him some props in high school, too.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I thought that was pretty funny.
No, that's great.
And then, you know, there's something that came up with one of our friends this week that I saw you noticed that you guys were discussing, and you guys were talking about how close the lines are, like saying how it's amazing how the casinos are able to pick these lines so closely, you know, to like the over under or the spread of the game. And I was just going to add that some people might find this valuable. So it's not so much the casinos are making the accurate line. It's the market, right? Because the casinos have their power rankings and then the stats, and then they come up with a line. And then most casinos, like, copycat, like the big dogs for their lines, but it's actually the market, you know, people buying and selling those spreads that are actually the accuracy that makes it so accurate. So when a line comes out and Kansas City is -1.5, and then people start buying on the Niners and it goes up to 2.5, you know, the market is the one that's determining how close those lines are, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's not so much the casinos coming out initially with this accurate line, because they come out with the line, but then the market dictates how close those lines can be sometimes.
Yeah, well, they're still pretty close with their original line, because lines don't move a whole lot.
Sure.
But, you know, it used to be if someone that scared them, like a sharp came in and just hammered, like, you know, the line, like, We might be wrong on that one.
Yes. Well, right. And so I've explained in before in the beginning. So like the amount that you can place on the games goes up throughout the week. So in the very beginning, they don't want to get hammered with that. Like
it's like what, 10K.
Like what you're referring, or even like Sunday night, I think it can be like 1K. And then as it comes to game day, now they feel more comfortable with where the line's at and they open it up more. But yeah, when they first come out with the lines like Sunday nights, it's a limit on how much you can put on it.
Hmm.
Because they don't want to get caught with their pants down.
Well, and there's a lot that you don't know Sunday, like injuries and who's going to be quarterback in some situations. So that it's risky also to slap it down.
It can be, yeah. But that's typically how you beat the lines, is by getting on them early. What's interesting about the lines is like the Niners, you know, people were throwing chips on the nines. So you weren't the only one. Like a lot of people were throwing money on the Niners. Thinking that they were going to do well. Same with the Jets. You know, people thought the Jets were going to come in there.
Yeah.
But, you
know, they did to begin with.
Right. And then, you know, like I always say, though, the Steelers' defense and special teams are the biggest joke of all time. The Steelers' special teams coach, I don't know what his name is, but he's the one that throws like the whole wad of gum in his mouth.
And he's pacing, I mean,
how many pieces
in the sideline?
How many pieces of gum does that guy have in his mouth? The boys are like, whoa, he must have like 3 or 4. I go, try 30 or 40.
Yeah.
I mean, that thing's a huge ball in his mouth, but that guy balls. I mean, their special teams is just a joker.
Mm-hmm.
So I like Pitt. I think it's a great spot for Russ because Russ won't do the stupid shit like all these quarterbacks have done in the past. So I say watch out for the Steels.
Yeah.
Especially at home. Especially at home. I would never bet against the Steelers at home.
We'll see if they can maybe grab a receiver before the trade deadline and just help a little bit with Pickens.
Wow, that'd be great. So let's fire it up here.
Sure.
What do you see for this week's ball games?
Let's start how we've been starting with the Thursday nighters, because that's what comes up first.
Okay, here we go. We got the Vikes traveling into the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
What do you got over there for a line?
I liked the Vikings last week at home with the Lions, and that was another one that started well, but yeah, Goff caught fire, kind of backdoored him there at the buzzer with the field goal.
Yes, he did.
So I like the Vikings, short week coming down to L.A., but they're a good team.
Wow, what's the line?
-3, Vikings.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to have to lean with the Rams there, even though I don't think you've lost a Thursday nighter.
Mm-mm.
But, yeah, I don't. For some reason, I think this is I think the Vikings coach, didn't he coach under McVay? I think he might be coming out of the McVay tree.
Yeah, he may have, actually.
So anyway, I'm leaning with the big Rams there. Cup's coming back.
He was supposed to last week, and he didn't.
I know.
I mean,
but he was a full participant today.
I like Cup. I just, you know, what is the last 2 years? He hasn't really been able to stay out there a whole lot.
No, he hasn't. I know it's been unfortunate, but when he does, he balls. So let's hopefully for him and the Rams and the Rams fans that he does.
Yeah, I just the Vikings that would have been a great win against the Lions, but that was the buzzsaw with Goff. The guy's on fire. Like his stats, he's not missing many throws.
Well, and I think it's great that he resurrected his career. I mean, he was almost out. He was almost out of the league. He was that bad. Things were going that badly for him. You have to give props to whoever on Detroit side was like, okay, sure, get rid of Stafford. Yeah, we'll take Goff. I mean, who was pumped about Goff coming in there? I mean, I didn't think he was going to do squat.
No, but Dan Campbell and those guys pumped it back up.
Yeah, so props to him. And then I was thinking about that last night, too. Props to Baker Mayfield, too. He was another one that was on his way out.
Yeah, he's done well.
You know, so it's cool that, I mean, you have to have a shitload of confidence in yourself to go through what both of those guys did, because, you know, 95% of the world was like, you're garbage. And they kept it together and they're like, no, I'm not. So,
but the GM of the Lions has done a great job of bringing in talent, because they didn't used to get that many guys come through at that many different positions.
Yeah, no. Yeah, they've done a great job. I mean, we like the St. Brown, that guy balls.
Mm-hmm.
They actually, so the Lions, so speaking of the Lions, let's chit about that game. So the Lions take on the Titans this week, and the line is 11.
Yeah.
What do you think about her? Is there any interest there either direction?
Seems, I mean, a game I probably wouldn't touch, but just seeing what Tennessee did up in Buffalo, it's like, I don't know, they're nothing, nothing amazing right now. I'd probably go with Detroit. But then Detroit was so amped up for the Vikings. Are they going to be ready for this one?
Right.
But I'd lean with the Lions.
Okay, well, I'm coming in, and I was waiting for it, and this is it. Give me the Titans plus the 11 here. Best bet. So we get Big Rudolph. He gets the whole week with the first string. Like you said, big W for the Lions, right? And so I think that does carry over a little bit. This is the AFC-NFC matchup. Remember, sometimes you get these squads, and I mean, they don't give a shit about every game as much as some of the others, right? And so how about this? We like to call this a sandwich spot. What is that? Is when you've got two games within the division and one shit team like the Titans sandwiched in between the Vikings and next week, the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
So might be looking ahead a little bit. Give me big Mason Rudolph and the Titans here.
See what they got.
Yep, let's go. 11 points is a truckload. I mean, you're basically saying that these guys are like a step up from the big Carolina Panthers. There's not much difference there is what you're telling them.
Yeah. Speaking of lines, I think there were six straight weeks of no double-digit favorites.
Yeah.
And then this week, I think we're on the verge of three here. So you're definitely starting to see some things spread out here and some teams kind of going down the wrong direction. And so the casinos are picking up on that. Mm. You're seeing some bigger lines.
Right. Some of the teams are like, we're out of this race.
It's not happening this year.
Right. So speaking of happening this year, what's your take on Arizona, my boy Kyler, travels in to Miami. Sounds like Big Two is back. The line there is Miami minus three. Give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, interesting. Tough spot, I guess, for Arizona playing Monday night and then going that far, you know, to play Tua and company coming back. Miami has looked like a shell of themselves without Tua. But what's Tyreek's status? Has he been playing?
Yeah, no, he's playing. They just can't get him the ball.
You don't see any highlights of him when Tua's not there, hardly.
He doesn't get the looks. So Mike McDaniel's the coach for the Dolphins. I mean, everyone thought this guy was the guru. And I go, come on, hold the horses here a little bit. And I'm here to tell you, this guy's not the guru. He is garbage. So I was pleased that I had the Dolphins against the Colts, and the Colts are so bad it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the Dolphins are about to punch it in. Their top four running backs average like 5 yards a pop. Okay, they're about to pop it in. It's on the 3 yard line, and brilliant Mike over here decides to give the ball to the fullback. And guess what happens? Whoops, fumble, going the other way, and we don't cover. And I'm like, dude, what an idiot. Like, dude, you're giving it to the fullback. I mean, the guy touches the ball like four times a year. So anyway, I'm just – this Dolphins team's garb. I think they're going to be coming after Mike here pretty soon. Tua – like, I like Tua, but I mean, of course, the guy's going to be a little rusty. So, heavy lean here at the Cards might be a best bet for us. Watch us on Twitter right before the Eagles game this week. I threw out the Eagles because I was like, sometimes these games hit me like a little bit before game time where I'm like, dude, you got to be kidding me. It just hit me in the Eagles.
Yeah, I think Miami actually gets a little mojo back this week, though, just with him starting again. I think Tyreek and all them are like, finally, man, I can get the rock.
Sure. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with that, but I mean, he's going to be rusty, though. It doesn't matter.
But he'll just kind of, they'll just do those little quicker routes to Tyreek and those guys. I'm not talking about the deep balls necessarily. Sure. I think he'll be okay. I could see them winning this.
And how about when the Dolphins are throwing that Doyle guy out there? I mean, is it sweet when you take a squad and not only are you like, okay, we're down to our second string, and then Huntley got knocked out, so Big Doyle comes in, and why don't you give me 24 hours? I get 24 hours to go out there and try to find a better quarterback than Doyle, and he's not in the NFL. Can't be in the NFL. Bolt, you got 24 hours. I guarantee you I'd be able to find someone. That guy is bueno. Bueno, bueno, bueno. How is this guy in the NFL? Oh, it's so ugly. When he came in, I go, tear up the ticket. There she goes.
Yeah.
Good night. It's not happening. And then you got Mike handing the ball off to his fullback. Wow, that was a fun game to watch. Sucked so bad. I don't know what's worse, that or having the Cleveland Browns and DTR gets called off the bench. I go, oh, that's not what I signed up for. Wow, DTR, he's got the running back in the flats, and DTR tries to throw it at him 150 miles per hour and take his head off. The running back can't catch it. And I'm like, oh, my God, this game is good looking, too. So I had the Browns and the Colts. That's how legit that weekend was.
Yeah.
DTR and Doyle.
The Browns, you should have stayed away from them like 3 weeks ago.
They were balling, though. Chubb was back. It was only 7-6. And the Bengals, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, they don't look that great. And you know what? We just got an alert from the producer here. He goes, you mentioned the Bengals? You might as well mention the best bet here. Give me Philadelphia Eagles versus the Bengals.
Mm.
What's your line over there? Is it 2.5 or 3?
It's +3, Philly.
Okay. Give me the Eagles +3. So we obviously gave them out last week as a best bet. I think people are a little down on the Eagles right now. They're going to turn things around, ladies and gentlemen. They'll get humming here. And the Bengals, I like Joe. Chase balls. T. Higgins is solid, too. It stops there, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, their D's not that great.
No.
Seb Hendricks, that guy makes some push.
And I don't even think they had 200 total yards against the Browns. Like, dude, remember, the only reason they were ahead at half is because the very first play of the game, the guy took it to the house on the kickoff return. That's how they scored. Mm. So that obviously doesn't happen very often. This could be the blowout. The Eagles, best bet, 3. Here we go.
Nice.
Yep.
I got I took a week off from my guy Josh, but he's traveling to Seattle.
Okay.
And I'm coming back to him.
Really? They're -3, I think. Right?
Yeah, no problem with that one. I mean, Josh is not Kirk Cousins and the Falcons. I know Seattle's at home this week, but Amari Cooper gets a little more time with Josh in practice.
Sure.
Smooth that out.
Okay.
I like Buffalo.
Long trip.
Sure.
I think, didn't we discuss, I think it's that's the longest trip in the NFL, is from Buff.
Or Seattle to Miami.
No, I know. This is barely longer, actually. It's just like within 10 miles or something.
Okay.
But anyway. Okay. Yeah, no, I don't have anything against that, especially since DK's, you know, beat up. If DK's not playing, wow, sure. I'll jump on that bad boy with you.
Mm-hmm.
I've got, so far, best bets, Titans +11, Philly +3. Let me give you my third one right here.
Yep.
Currently, some of you may know that the Buccaneers lost both of their receivers last night, unfortunately. Mike Evans, hamstring, and when he pulled it, I'm like, oh, dude, Mike, I know what you're going through, buddy.
Yeah, he pulled up.
Because remember, I pulled mine a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel that great. And then Godwin, wow, his ankle, see you later. He's probably out for the season.
Yeah, that was the air cast. He looked like he was bummed.
So those guys account for 10 touchdowns. They each have 5. They're obviously a huge part of the offense. But last week, the look-ahead line for this game, what you might guess, is right around 3, okay? The Buccaneers are at home. They were -2.5. Now that those guys aren't playing, they're +2.5. So listen, those receivers are not worth 5 points to the line. I'll take the Bucs here. Let's see if it gets to 3 points first, ladies and gentlemen, because it probably will, to be honest, because everyone's going to be talking about how much these guys were a part of the offense, this and that. They don't have his two receivers, blah, 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 blah. Go ahead and give me Baker here.
Yeah, or it won't go to 3. They won't want to give them 3 at home.
Right. I'm just saying we can hold out. We can hold out here just to see if we're going to get a 3 on it. Let's not jump on it right away, but we will jump on it.
Mm-hmm. One other interesting one here. I kind of thought the Bears are going to Washington, but Daniels is sitting this one out with the ribs.
Yep.
So they're turning to Mariota.
Yep.
And the Bears have looked pretty good. They had the bye week.
You like the Bears?
Yep. trying to see the
line.
Yeah, what do you see?
I think it was -1.5.
Oh, it's -2 Chicago.
Right.
But it's in Washington, yeah.
Right. So
I'm going Chi-Town here.
Okay. I mean, Mariota's not too shabby.
No, but I mean, it's not like he did that much work the last few years when he did get in.
No, but I mean, he's not a total sap like Doyle and these sappers.
I mean,
you know, those guys are horrible.
Yeah.
Okay. I actually would lean with Mariota there, but yeah. Is there anything else you have on the NFL before I jump into college here?
No, I'm going to start my week with Minnesota and go strong with Josh in Seattle.
Okay. College was fun last week. We went 2-2 on that one. Also, Cincinnati, like we said, blew out big Arizona State. And then how great was that Georgia Bulldogs game?
That was a good one to watch.
That was a close one. That maybe I should have maybe put that down as let it ride, go large, #2 this season.
Did you watch most of it?
Oh, I sure did. And it was a beauty to watch because Texas, wow, were you guys overrated?
Yeah, different level of playing there, you know, coming. I mean, it was at home, but then when they lost it and started throwing the water bottles too, it was like, chill out.
Oh, so then I had, remember, West Virginia. And our cousin Adam, who went to K-State, he's like, no, K-State's going to take them. Well, we got the West Virginia backup also. All right. I mean, that sucks. Like, that's one thing you never plan for, right? You can't handicap for this guy that's garbage to come into the ball game. And so, sure enough, the second stringer came in, and I go, click, turn this bad boy off. We got no shot. No shot. So anyway, this week, though, in college, hello. Some of you may remember the Texas A&M bet against Missouri a few weeks ago, and it was just the boat race. Well, here comes LSU, and this is going to be the same setup as they did. I'm not going to say that they're going to get boat raced as bad, but it is a very difficult place to play. Texas A&M, let's rock and roll. -2.5. And then Navy Notre Dame versus the triple option. Some people may wonder, what is the triple option? How does Navy even stay close to Notre Dame? Well, they just run the shit out of the ball. They throw it like 4 times and they run the triple option. They've got 3 separate people that they can hand off to, or the little quarterback can hold on to it. Navy +12.5. Let's get ready to rock.
Right. Yeah. Navy can hang with them some years. Sometimes they go in there and they'll put it to the Irish.
Right. Well, so Navy 6-0 this year. They're riding high. Now, granted, they haven't played that great of squads, but they are at home, and they get slightly fired up for Notre Dame. Now, does Notre Dame get fired up for Navy? Probably not as much. So, and you know, you love the Navy guys because they're the grinders. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not giving up. They're slightly disciplined, obviously. So, yeah, it's fun to take them. +12.5. Let's get that triple option rocking and rolling.
Did that coach, is he still the one that's been there for a while? Or is that, didn't one of them go down to like San Jose State?
Yeah, no, he's at San Jose State now, yeah.
Okay. That's an interesting move to kind of leave there to go San Ho.
I know, right? Big difference. He's probably like, I'm ready for some warmer weather here, though.
But he was kind of getting, San Jose State was actually doing okay, so he'll probably kind of leap up against to another program.
Yeah, he's done good things at San Jose State for sure.
Okay, why don't you recap your NFL?
So NFL, Philadelphia +3, Titans +11. We're going to take the Buccaneers. Right now it's +2.5. Let's see if it gets to 3, and we'll take it at 3. And then in college, Texas A&M -2.5, and Navy +12.5.
Okay.
All righty.
All right. That'll do it for Week 8 NFL with the college picks. Take a look at Instagram and Twitter. It's at Bolt Brady Picks, and we'll throw some stuff up there the day before, day of the games, in case anything new pops into Bolt's head. Well, that'll do it for this week. We'll see you guys next Tuesday.
See ya.